So a school teacher makes a specific request for everyone in her class to pay better attention now to the lecture. And as she begins in again on her lesson, one student stretches his arms and gives out a very loud yawn. A waitress clears the plates for a family she's been serving. The young girl at the table says thank you to her. And the mother at the table then says, "Oh, you don't have to thank her, honey. It's her job." I once was heading to the cash register to buy something at a bookstore in the cities. The store had, placed cords out to form that little short back and forth aisle for people to stand in when the lines were long. There was no one waiting at the cash register at this time, but, I was kind of approaching from that way anyway, so I started walking through the little zigzag. About halfway through, this other man shows up, ready to check out and clearly arriving after me. The guy looks right at me in the eyes, skips the zigzag, and rushes up to the front so he can beat me to the cash register. Thankfully, I didn't need to say anything because the person there was watching all that and immediately said, "I'm sorry, sir, this man was here before you." So I didn't punch him like I was gonna. A woman named Lori Young, who is the chief executive officer of an international advertising and marketing firm, says that she was in a conversation just a couple of years ago where a man asked her where she worked. She said the name of the firm, and he said, "Oh, so administrative assistant there?" She said, "No, CEO." So, some examples for you of disrespectful behavior there. We've all seen it. We've all had it done to us, and likely we've all slipped up more than once ourselves and probably done it to others. And as many have commented on recently, American culture seems to be becoming more disrespectful by the year. There's a lot of bad behavior out there, a lot of hurtful behavior. Maybe that makes you long to live in a place called God's Kingdom Incorporated. For those who weren't here last Sunday, I began a new sermon series where we are imagining what it would be like if the moment you made a decision to follow Jesus with your life, you actually moved into a section of land. We imagine there might be one in every state. A section of land that had been bought up by an entity called God's Kingdom Incorporated. And we imagine that this land would have rules to follow that would all be based upon Christian ethics from the Bible. Now, following that code of conduct would, in a sense, be optional because, no one was being forced to live there. They could leave whenever they wanted. But if they were going to stay there, they would be asked to comply. Theoretically, everyone living there would want to comply. So, we began last Sunday thinking about what this code of conduct would look like for that land. We haven't gotten very far. That was the first sermon in the series. But I did have us remembering last Sunday a sermon I did in November on swearing. And so we decided that cursing would not be heard throughout all of Southwest Minnesota because we also had decided that that clearly would be the section of land that God's Kingdom Incorporated would want to buy in Minnesota. So no swearing in all of Southwest Minnesota. Amazing. We also tackled the subject last Sunday of alcohol use, looking at what the Bible has to say on that topic. And you're welcome, if you missed it, to listen to that sermon on our website if you're interested in what our conclusions were. Now, really, this is all just a fantasy, unfortunately. I really don't think that this idea of God's Kingdom Incorporated would work all that well in this world. Gave some reasons for that last Sunday, but I also believe that God knew that it probably wouldn't work all that well in this world, which is why he set up his real kingdom for this era of his work on the earth to be something that resides in the hearts of his followers, something that goes with them wherever they are. And that's what the Bible tells us. The members of God's kingdom, the way he has actually set it up, are a society scattered throughout the larger society. We're to be in the world, but living differently from it. Well, when you boil it all down, this sermon series here, playing around with this question of God's kingdom incorporated and what living there might look like, really essentially is a study of the kind of life Jesus asked us to live as his followers. So the title of my sermon series is Basics of a Christian Lifestyle. The Basics of a Christian Lifestyle. I'm going to suggest to you today that if we did all move to a actual physical land when we became Christians, a place where the ethics that Jesus taught were largely being practiced correctly, I would argue that we would encounter an entirely different culture there than the one that we are used to living in regards to this subject of respect and disrespect. And let me show you why. First off, a definition of respect for you. Respect is politeness, honor, and care shown towards someone or something that you consider important. Respect is politeness, honor, and care shown towards someone or something you consider important. And then let me give you the definition of another word. Here's the biblical definition of the kind of love that Jesus calls us to in the Bible, a definition given by the Apostle Paul, who wrote, "Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres." And then look again at the definition of respect. Politeness, honor, and care shown toward someone or something you consider important. I'd say the words love and respect intertwine quite nicely, wouldn't you? You know that Jesus has called us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, and that he makes clear in Scripture that when he uses the word neighbor, he means everybody. We're to love everybody in the way Paul described there. And if we are going to love each person out there in a way that is kind and patient, in a way that protects and is seeking their benefit over our own, I'm feeling pretty confident that we're also supposed to treat everybody with respect. And of course, the Bible does teach directly that we are to be respectful people. Starts all the way back in the Ten Commandments. Commandment number 5 says, honor your father and mother. So honor being another way of saying respect, right? Children are to obey their parents. Ephesians 6 says, that's part of showing respect too, is obedience, right? We're to respect our parents. We also are to show respect, says the Bible, to those who rule over us in government. 1 Peter 2, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and commend those who do right. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers, fear God, honor the emperor. Romans 13, give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Titus 3:1, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, and so on. If a human ruler asks us to do something that is in direct opposition to a law given to us by God, then the Bible teaches we're to obey God. But apart from that situation, it's clear we are instructed to obey those who rule over us, and we're to be respectful of them. And I think we've said recently, if we ever do get ourselves into a situation, or not that we got ourselves into it, but if it was ever forced upon us where we had to break a man-made law because it was contradicting one of God's laws, then I also believe that we ought to be the most respectful lawbreakers the world has ever seen. We're to show respect, says the Bible, to those who rule over us in the government. Here's another one, Ephesians 5:33. Each one of you husbands must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So Paul says the wife is to show respect to her husband. The husband is to love his wife. A lot is made of the difference between those two words, but I would argue that the word love is the bigger of the two, actually. the bigger responsibility. And in any case, here is another spot where the Bible is asking us to demonstrate respectful behavior. According to Scripture, we are also to show respect to our elders. Peter says, "You who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders." And then we'll get some Old Testament language going here with a look at Leviticus 19:32, which says, "You shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man." It got an amen. You didn't think there were advantages to the gray hair. Now you've got one. That and AARP. I was thinking earlier, I think I'm going to start using that at home to my kids. Honor this old face. Honor it. Honor my old face. Well, what this really comes down to is we're supposed to respect everybody, right? Paul starts out with something similar to the verses we just read in 1 Timothy 5, where he says, "Never speak harshly to an older man, but appeal to him respectfully as you would to your own father." But then Paul keeps going. "Talk to younger men as you would to your own brothers. Treat older women as you would your mother. And treat younger women with all purity as you would your own sisters." Good one. Respect everybody. In Titus 3, he says, "Slander no one." Show respect to everybody. Don't slander anyone. Be peaceable and considerate. Always be gentle toward everyone. The Bible says respect everybody. Except that one guy, right? God can't mean that one guy. But Jesus says, "I say to you, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you." And Peter 3:9, "Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing." Whew. So yeah, God means for us to show respect to that one guy too, or that one gal. One more for our list there. Human beings aren't the only beings we're asked to show respect to in the Bible. Don't forget the greatest of all commands, according to Jesus, where he says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength." There are all kinds of verses in the Bible, of course, that tell us to show great respect to our God. And in fact, it's kind of a eternal life and death sort of thing. How do we love and respect God? It starts with seeking to learn what he wants and then obeying his teachings. Jesus said, "If you love me, you're going to obey my commandments." Obedience and respect. So you can see that showing respect is a big deal in the Bible. When you even go back and look at those original Ten Commandments near the beginning of the Bible, you could say that the first four are all about respecting God. Don't have any other gods before me. Don't make and worship idols. Don't misuse my name. And the final six are about showing respect to people. Honor your parents. Don't murder. Rather disrespectful. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal someone else's property. Don't even covet their property or desire it. Respect others, respect God, respect's a big deal in the Bible, and that is why I would have to think that if the leaders of our imaginary God's Kingdom Incorporated were doing their job well, they would find ways to teach and to train and to lead all people in their land to speak and to act respectfully. So if you lived there, you wouldn't hear any cussing. No one would be getting killed by drunk drivers or abused by drunken people because no one would be getting drunk. And everyone would treat you respectfully, and you would treat others with the same courtesy. Sounds like a nice place to live. All right, let's try to apply this stuff to our lives, then the ones we live in the real world, not the imaginary world. What does God's call for his followers to be respectful people mean for us? I have just a few ideas to throw out at you. Catch this one. I think God's call to respect means completely removing these phrases from our vocabulary. I don't like that guy. I don't like that woman. I hate that guy. I hate that woman. I've got a challenge for you. Over the next 2 weeks, count how many times you say that phrase, one of those phrases. Maybe you don't say it out loud, but is it going in through your head? If we're to show respect to everyone, even those who treat us as their enemies, then I don't see how these obviously disrespectful phrases should ever come out of our mouths. And we ought to be working on what's going on in our heads as well. God calls us to always be looking to find the good in people or to love. And we saw love always protects. It's kind, it's patient, and so on. And by the way, this does not mean that there are never consequences for people's bad behavior. Okay? Calvary isn't going to take a person who got arrested last year for stealing vehicles and make them our church treasurer right away, okay? There are consequences for bad behavior. Sometimes we need to put up boundaries for safety and health. But we are still going to believe in each person and who they were created by God to be and who God still intends for them to become. We don't give up hope on people. Maybe somewhere down the line that person who was out stealing will be our church treasurer, right? After God gets in there and they feel the love of God from him and they repent and change their ways. Maybe they will be church treasurer someday. That's how it's supposed to work. So yeah, bad behavior does have consequences, but we are to continue to believe in people and love them, treat them with respect. So we need to stop saying, I don't like that guy. When we're talking about politics, I find that I say it a lot. I'm tempted to say it a lot when I'm watching sports. When we're talking about our coworkers, any of my youth groupers here today, I don't know if there are. I'll tell you one thing I hear a lot on Wednesday nights. Oh, I hate my third hour teacher. Hate that guy. Don't like that kid, whatever. These are phrases that shouldn't be coming out of our mouths. Other implications of the biblical principle of respect, you know that we're not to talk about people behind their backs, unless there's some godly reason to do so. When we have conflict with people, because we will, of course, we are to show them respect by following the biblical principle for how to handle conflict by going to that person and talking with them about it one-on-one first. You go to the person and you bring the issue up. You don't just stuff it. You bring the issue up. You speak truth in love. That's respectful behavior. And how about the relationships we have with people who just don't see, we just don't see eye to eye with? They have different viewpoints than we do, different lifestyles maybe than we would have people have. I do think that the goal is to be able to sit across the table with people like that and be able to discuss those things without the temperature rising and getting heated. That's not easy for any of us. But I think that's what respect looks like there. We can show that we love them, even though we disagree with viewpoints and choices. James says we're to be quick to listen, slow to anger. This is showing respect and being people of peace. How about this as an implication for today? Christ followers aren't to cheat really on anything. We're not to cheat on tests. We're not to cheat on taxes. Even in games we play, huh? Because cheating is disrespectful behavior. We're to be respectful. We're to be people who are respectful of rules in games and in general. And then one last one for you, one for our modern age. And again, I wish I had my youth group here, but ghosting someone who texts you intentionally, which means intentionally not responding to someone who texts you. Now, I'm not talking here about stalkers who you probably should not respond to. Okay, I'm talking about normal human interaction, all right? But ghosting happens a lot in normal human interaction these days. You should seek to respond and in a relatively short order. If I'm too busy to respond when a person texts, I really do try to get them an answer within 24 hours, if possible. Perhaps you're tempted to ghost them because you're trying to avoid a difficult conversation, like saying no to something they asked of you. Well, it's more respectful to have that difficult conversation and to say no in a respectful and loving way than it is to just not respond and let them float out there. Ghosting is disrespectful behavior, and Christians are not to be about that. Oh, we could keep going, but I'm going to stop. So in the land of God's Kingdom Incorporated, apparently intentional ghosting of somebody following a text they sent just would never happen. Students would be so well trained in the principle of respect that no one would ever think about disrupting a teacher's lecture with a loud, rude yawn. Everyone would say thank you to the people who serve them at restaurants because everyone would see those servers as important and valuable people. People wouldn't be cutting in line at the bookstore because they'd be motivated to care about the needs of others over their own. And no one would assume that because the person they're talking to is a woman, she must hold a job of lower responsibility. No, the Society of God's Kingdom Incorporated would embrace the value of respect because the Bible asked them to. We don't live in God's Kingdom Incorporated, but if we have submitted our lives to Jesus, then we are members of God's true kingdom on the earth, a society within the larger society. So let us behave accordingly. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, if only everybody followed your good instruction, what a world that would be. Unfortunately, this world is a broken one, and so your kingdom grows subtly within it, invading hearts, transforming lives bit by bit. And one day you will bring an end to this era and bring about your fully fulfilled kingdom. We look forward to that day. But in the meantime, teach us your ways. Teach us to be respectful to everybody. Train us in all of your ways, Lord, for the good of the world and for your glory. Amen.